Hello, everybody. Welcome back into Locked On Colts, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And today, as always, I'm your host, Evan Sager. I'm joined by a very special guest today. He's going to be coming on every 2 weeks on the podcast, Kevin Bowen of 1070 The Fan. Kevin, how are you doing today?
Doing good, Evan. Thanks for having me on again, man.
Yeah, no problem at all. And we're going to touch on a lot of stuff today before the Colts play on Sunday in LA. We're going to hit on the game. We're going to also talk about Brian Hoyer and Jacoby Brissett. But I'd be remiss not to ask you, because we haven't had the chance to talk about it yet. 3 days after we had the discussion about Andrew Luck, he retired all of a sudden. Just what was it like in Lucas Oil Stadium during the third and fourth quarter and post game of that game? Just imagine from your point of view, Kevin, it had to be one of the more craziest evenings of your journalism career for sure.
Yeah, I would say the craziest by far. And talking to my colleagues that have been in a lot longer than I have, I think they would even agree with that. Just almost an eerie feeling is kind of how I eventually got to that conclusion of just watching this retirement happening and then seeing the shock on Colts employees' faces and, you know, seeing people from the Bears in the press box like, oh my gosh, is this really happening? And the Bears people are probably like, thank the Lord, this is not us. And then seeing just the amount of fans that started to find out and Andrew Luck still on the sidelines and, you know, trying to get some clarity from the Colts and that situation and, you know, working amidst all this kind of chaotic environment, both in the press box and then eventually down on the event level outside of the Colts locker room and into the press room. It was certainly a night that I will never forget in my professional career. And even now, you know, a week and a half later, it's still shocking to me. It's still like when you see, you know, billboards around town or, you know, media guides or just, you know, other paraphernalia that the Colts had, and either Andrew Luck's face has to be taken off that stuff or just different marketing elements, let alone when the Colts talk about him in the past tense or I talk about him in the past tense. It is still just a very stunning, kind of shocking feeling.
Kevin, what's the vibe around the facility? I know you've been around there the last couple of weeks. Is it still like, can you tell on players and coaches' faces like they're still trying to get over this, or are they not really turned the page, so to say, and it's full steam ahead of the season?
Oh, I think they've turned the page, and I think you have to turn the page. You know, as much as fans, you know, might want to still, you know, have a little bit of emotional ties to the Andrew Luck era, the 53 guys in that locker room, Chris Bowden and Frank Reich, they have to move on. Like, that's just the reality of this business. And they said, you know, bye to 37 guys over the weekend, 36 guys over the weekend, and Andrew Luck said bye to them a week prior, and it's time to move on. Like, that's the harsh reality of things. It doesn't need to sound cold towards Andrew Luck, but Jacoby Brissett's your quarterback, Brian Hoyer's your backup, and this is the 2019 Colts. Like that's just what you have to do. And so I don't think you can afford to have any sort of, man, I really wish he was here. You know, if Andrew was here, we'd run that play, or he'd do this pre-snap. Like, he's not here. And the same way you had to move on from Peyton Manning, you had a little bit more of a grieve time to do that from 2011 to 2012. Jacoby Brissett's your center, or he's your quarterback. He's your franchise quarterback. You just paid him, you know, a significant amount of money, and that's how you have to look going forward at this. The Andrew Luck era is over inside of that building. Sure, maybe there comes a day when you can honor him in a little bit more of a graceful way than he went out of Lucas Oil Stadium. But for right now in 2019, he can't be lurking. You can't be talking about him too much. It would be kind of a disservice to Jacoby Brissett if you handled things that way.
Yeah, for sure. I agree with you there. And I wonder, just from your point of view, I mean, this obviously is one of the more stunning news we've seen over the past few years in the NFL, but with a GM head coach combination like Chris Ballard and Frank Reich, do you think they're in a good spot moving forward? I know this is probably a lot different if they still had, like, let's say, Chuck Pagano and Ryan Grigson running the show if this happened.
Yeah, I think from a mentality standpoint and how those two guys go about their business, I think the Colts are in great hands. Now, it is an awful situation that Andrew Luck has put the Colts in, and the ability to recover from this and continue to be a sustained success sort of franchise, which is where you felt like you were with Andrew Luck at quarterback coming into the 2019 season, that is a big question. But if you're talking about, again, just the mentality of those two men, I think they are in a way built for this, and they kind of embrace it almost in a bit of a sick way, I guess. You know, Frank Reich's career has been a backup quarterback. I've said it before on my podcast, but I feel feel like Frank Reich every week, he just goes to the medical team and he's like, all right, who's healthy? Who's not? Who are the 46 guys that are dressing? Just tell me that, and we'll go out there and try and win a football game. Like, that was his mentality as a player, and I think that's his mentality as a coach. And Chris Ballard, you know, since day one of that opening press conference he had in January 2017, he has always been very adamant that it's about more than just one guy. And yes, there will come points in this season, and it's something I'm going to post to 107.5thefan.com on Thursday. Andrew Luck's going to be missed. Like, let's not lose sight of that. Andrew Luck was a damn good quarterback and was a big reason why the Colts continually had at least 8-win seasons with him under center and achieved things when I think the overall team around Andrew Luck maybe wasn't as talented as some of the success that the Colts ended up having during those seasons. So he will be missed. But I do think from a chaotic situation standpoint, Chris Ballard and Frank Reich, I think, are wired in the right ways to be able to move on from this rather quickly. And the good news is you do have a good amount of resources, even with giving Jacoby Brissett the contract that you gave him. If things bottom out this season, you can go in a different direction at the quarterback position.
Speaking of turning the page, I'm glad you brought up the Jacoby Brissett point. That was our next bullet point on the list here, Kevin. What was your thoughts when you heard that? Because when I saw Brian Hoyer get his contract, it was 3 years, $12 million, $4 million annually per year. I think it was $8 or $9 million guaranteed. I was expecting a Jacoby Brissett contract extension to eventually happen, but I didn't think it would happen that fast. What was your thoughts when you first saw that go across your ticker?
Yeah, Evan, I think we had kind of similar lines of thinking with the Brian Hoyer contract. Now, I knew, obviously, that Jacoby Brissett handles his own contract and doesn't have an agent, so I was a little bit like, does he want to deal with this right now? Do the Colts want him to deal with this right now? Like, what is that negotiation process like? Obviously, I don't think it'd be, you know, anywhere near as expensive as an Ezekiel Elliott situation, but, like, there is some back and forth, and Jacoby Brissett's got a lot on his mind right now. I mean, you talk about the emotional roller coaster he's been on the last, you know, 12, 13 days since Andrew Luck told him, obviously the shocking news that everyone heard last Saturday at Lucas Oil Stadium. But I think what you were doing with this contract situation is, from a prove-it standpoint, has Jacoby Brissett earned the type of money that the Colts are now giving him? No. I mean, he just hasn't. And so that goes against, I think, like, normal contract 101, especially in terms of the NFL. But I think this is a unique case, and that's something that we need to keep in mind. This is very unforeseen circumstances that Jacoby Brissett has been thrown into, and I think what this does is it alleviates some of the stress and some of the cloudy future that would have been there had Jacoby Brissett played out this final 2019 season of his rookie contract. And I think that's a big thing. You want to try to put him into a much more favorable situation and take away any of the doubt and any of the just unknown that lies ahead for him. And while I think Jacoby Brissett has a pretty good mental makeup, he's a human being. He doesn't have an agent. He handles these things. And I had asked him well before the news broke, I guess, on Labor Day Monday of him getting this new contract. Like, he knew the reality of this final year of, like, okay, if Andrew Luck plays the whole season, the preseason for Jacoby Brissett was going to be huge from what he put on film. He knew that that was kind of a last audition sort of for him to show the 31 other teams in the league. Now, obviously, the Colts retain his security. I don't think it's anything crazy from a cap hit standpoint in 2019 or 2020. You still have gobs of cap space to move forward with. So, all things considered, I think it was a wise move by both parties. And what the Colts are saying is they still firmly believe Jacoby Brissett is their franchise quarterback. Now, this time next year, or even probably in the 2020 summer, if you go 10-6 and Jacoby Brissett plays like a 10-6 quarterback, you will probably have to give him more of that mega kind of 4 or 5 year quarterback sort of franchise contract. But if you go 6-10, that leaves you some wiggle room to maybe, you know, have an opt out sort of situation in that contract, and then move forward with maybe drafting a 2020 quarterback.
The opening week of the NFL is brought to you by Mack Walden. Mack Walden is a premium men's essentials brand that believes in smart design and premium fabrics. Mack Walden is better than whatever you're wearing right now. Promo code LOCKEDON gets you 20% off at MackWalden.com. That is M-A-C-K, weldon.com. Again, that's 20% off if you use the code LOCKEDON at MacWeldon.com. What are the optics from this situation, Kevin? Because we always talk about before, like, the locker room knows all, the locker room follows all, and Chris Ballard's been a guy who's lived up to his word so far by extending his own players. And after this situation with Andrew Luck, going to Jacoby Brissett, their franchise quarterback, they've been talking to the media about how he is their guy moving forward. Getting him that extension, what does that say to the locker room, too? I guess, like, they're going all in on this guy, and it feels like that probably permeates throughout the locker room when that happened.
Yeah, I think it's a really good question, Evan, and I can see it kind of twofold. You know, some people in that locker room, do they get a little pissed off and saying, wait, Jacoby Brissett is now making, I mean, I think his average salary is the most of any player on that team. And, you know, he's been a glorified, you know, backup, you know, throughout the vast majority of his career. So that might rub some players the wrong way. But I think, like you said it, it's like, all right, they believe in Jacoby Brissett. They've given him monetary value that, like, moving forward, he is our guy. The words are the words, and now their actions have backed up what those words are. And I think the vast majority of that locker room sees that, and they believe in Jacoby Brissett, and they want to rally around him. And, you know, I don't think guys will come out and outright publicly say it, but I think some of them in the back of their minds, they kind of feel like, all right, enough of the Andrew Luck talk. It's time to move on. Like, Jacoby Brissett is our QB1. I think Eric Ebron tweeted it the other day. Like, that's the guy now. And you can't be worried about Andrew Luck magically appearing inside that locker room. It's not happening. So I do think players respect what the Colts did, understand the optics of the situation, that they needed to do something for him. And I think what the Colts have done is they have, you know, reinstilled that belief from a contractual value standpoint into Jacoby Brissett. And if you ask me right now, I think Chris Ballard and Frank Reich have extreme belief that Jacoby Brissett is their franchise quarterback. But I think what they need to keep in mind is they have left themselves a little bit of an out, and they need to critically evaluate this quarterback. Because I think what happens way too many times in the NFL is you hold on and hold on and believe that your quarterback is going to do something. Ryan Tannehill, Andy Dalton, I think, are perfect examples in the AFC of those two franchises clinging to hope of thinking, yes, he's going to get there eventually. He's going to get there eventually. And now both of those teams have no idea where they're turning to in their quarterback, you know, situations now, 6, 7, 8 years into those guys and their careers. And I think that the Colts have got to make sure that they don't fall in that same trap with Jacoby Brissett.
Kevin, what do you think is the Mendoza line, so to say, or the baseline, where you're looking at Brissett, and then in 2020 you have this draft class featuring Tua Tagovailoa, Justin Herbert, Jordan Love? You may not be able to get there on your own, but maybe you could trade up and get that, like Houston and Kansas City did for Mahomes and Deshaun Watson. What do you think is the baseline for wins for Brissett this year? I know it's maybe too much pressure on him to say this, but I feel like if he doesn't get over 500, maybe 9-7 or 10-6 and close to the playoffs with this kind of roster, I feel like that kind of shows he's not really a top 20 quarterback. So where would you lean as far as, like, what's the baseline and wins for what Brissett needs to do for them to really have 100% confidence he has the guy moving forward?
Yeah, again, it's another really good question. And I feel bad in a way just saying, like, they go 9-7, Jacoby Brissett is the franchise. If they go 7-9, he's not the franchise. Like, there's more there than just your record. You know, if we are basing it just off record for now and saying, you know, everyone's healthy and you look like a normal whatever football team based off your record, I would be hard-pressed to see the Colts moving away from Jacoby Brissett if they went 500 or better. I would think that would indicate that he is definitely your quarterback moving forward, and honestly, it probably would indicate that you're going to give him a new contract next summer to lock him up for, you know, whatever, 4 or 5 more years when his contract does come up after that 2020 season. If you go less than 500, and I think right around that 6-win mark, I think, and he plays like a 6-win quarterback, then that's when I think you have to critically evaluate things. Because let's say you go 6-10 or 7-9 and you're drafted in the 8-12 area. I mean, that was a sweet spot where Houston got Deshaun Watson and Kansas City got Patrick Mahomes. You know, can you find a guy there like, you know, Jordan Love? Does he maybe, if he's not the Herbert or the Tua or the Jake Fromm or whatever, does he fall into that area? And we know full well the Colts have plenty of draft capital. If they are in love with one of those other quarterbacks, that they do then move up for one of them. So it's a tough question to answer. I really need to see the season play out. But that's how I kind of look at it. I think if they go, you know, 8, 9, or 10 wins, to me, I feel like the Colts will give them a new contract. If they go less than that, then I think it's something to where you have to take a really, really long, hard look and evaluate quarterback like you'd evaluate any other position on your roster.
Last Jacoby question I have for you, Kevin, before we go on to Brian Hoyer. What are your new expectations now with Brissett under quarterback? Because I believe we talked a couple weeks ago where if it was Andrew Luck playing the full season at 85-80% health, that was probably a 9-7 team. Where do you land as far as with Brissett under center now?
Yeah, I'm probably right in the 7-8 win range with him. Like I said earlier, Andrew Luck's going to be missed. You know, I don't know how much detail we got into it a couple weeks ago on the podcast, but I mean, just go back and watch Andrew Luck's highlights from 2018, and the plays he makes cannot be taken for granted, and the plays he makes during those, you know, blank moments of third down, red zone, 2 minute, fourth quarter, can Jacoby Brissett deliver in those moments? Because it's one thing to deliver in 2017, or, you know, obviously he was thrown into an awful situation, but the expectations are different for this 2019 football team. Jacoby Brissett is no placeholder anymore. He's the franchise. How does he react to all of that pressure now onto his shoulders? I'm really going to be curious to see what he does pre-snap. I know it's going to be very difficult to kind of evaluate, but the Colts in their offense, they put a lot of leeway and freedom and responsibility into their quarterback's hands of what that guy is allowed to do in terms of pass protection and getting out of bad plays and, you know, switching kind of run stuff if the numbers don't look great there as well. So Jacoby Brissett sounds like he's going to have the same responsibility that Andrew Luck has. And how does he handle all of that? And certainly the in rhythm kind of quicker stuff in the passing game of being able to identify what a defense is doing, you know, take a positive continually to move forward. You know, and not feel like it's a 1, 2, 3, and you're hitching again at 5 steps and things like that. I think Nick Sirianni talked yesterday about how he feels like just the knowledge base that Jacoby has in this offense allows him to be a little bit more better with his timing, which leads to a more accurate quarterback. So I think those are all things that I'll be watching for from him. I know there's not a lot to take away from the 2017 season, but I did think something he really did a nice job of was protecting the football. I think he had the 6th best interception rate in the NFL, which I think is pretty good for a guy just thrust into duty like he was in 2017. So I think he's got to do that again this year because he's just got more talent around him. If you can take care of it, let your weapons make plays with the ball in their hands, and you're obviously going to be behind a much better offensive line. Jacoby Brissett should have a successful season. If you're a top 20 quarterback in the NFL, with what you have around you, you should be a successful quarterback this year.
Yeah, they're certainly paying him like that. I believe he's the 19th highest paid quarterback now, so they're certainly live up to the billing of top 20 quarterback, and we'll have to see if he lives up to that. But let's move on here, Kevin, to quickly Brian Hoyer. What was your thoughts on the Hoyer signing? 3 years, $12 million. I believe they have an after this year if they want to, but I feel like we talk about the options we've seen on there before, like Brock Osweiler, Brandon Weeden, David Fales, I believe, visited the facility. I think that Brian Hoyer was easily the best option out there. What was your thoughts about that signing?
Yeah, I thought it was really smart. You know, I think a couple of weeks ago, I was under the impression of, all right, sign one of those kind of holding on with my dear life veterans of Osweiler, Castle, Weeden, let that guy play the first 2 weeks of the season, and then I would have promoted Chad Kelly to being the backup. But when Hoyer became available, I thought that, to me, was a la Matt Hasselbeck in 2013, where Hasselbeck certainly has had a much better career, had a much better career than Brian Hoyer did. But I think at this point of his career, when you sign Hasselbeck and when you sign Hoyer, they are at a similar stage. Hasselbeck probably a little bit better quarterback, but Hoyer's not far behind. And I think what you're getting in Hoyer is clearly a veteran voice that Tom Brady and Bill Belichick really relied on. I mean, Tom Brady's praise for Brian Hoyer is extremely high. And I think the Patriots have admitted that Hoyer's knowledge of opposing NFL systems, you know, impacted not just the quarterback room in New England, but other rooms, mainly on the defensive side of the ball, and him being in five or six different offenses or different teams before he returned to New England a couple years ago. So I think it's something that was a really smart move by the Colts. We have to remember Jacoby Brissett is still pretty young. You know, I think he's 26 years old, I believe. You know, you have Chad Kelly currently on the suspension list. You know, as we're taping this on Wednesday morning, the Colts just released Philip Walker from the practice squad. So there looks to be an opening if you could get him to your practice squad, or maybe you have to put him on your 53-man roster, which I think right now you could probably get away with, but as injuries start to pile up, maybe not. But I think having Brian Hoyer in that room for Chad Kelly, for Jacoby Brissett, it's really smart. And it was a good move for both parties, because Brian Hoyer's in a situation where, I mean, he's got a little bit of leverage himself now of, like, I'm the best backup on the market. Some teams are desperate right now. If I can get a multi-year deal out of this, I can. And as you said, Evan, the Colts can opt out of it, you know, without much of a cap hit. And really, the Colts have so much cap space, they probably don't care too much that they've given him that three-year, I think it's $12 million deal. So I think it was a wise move. I don't think Brian Hoyer can save your season if Jacoby Brissett gets hurt for a long time. But I think he's a competent enough quarterback to potentially win a game or two. And I also think he really helps out just the youth inside of that quarterback room.
We're going to dive into the preview in a second here, Kevin. But since you brought up Chad Kelly, I want to get your thoughts on what you think is going to happen with him next. Is he going to be on the 53-man roster? Is he going to go to the practice squad? Because I think if he does get it waived, maybe there's an injury here in the first two or three weeks of the season. Maybe a quarterback needy team does claim him off waivers. What are your expectations for Chad Kelly? Because personally, I don't believe that he's worth having a third quarterback on the 53-man roster, but where do you land on that?
Yeah, I think he's worth it if you have the room, which is a big if. And right now you have the room because you're really darn healthy right now. And as we sit here, again, the Colts haven't practiced yet this week. Jabal Sheard's about the only guy I put in Sharpie marker as a week one inactive. I think the Colts are extremely healthy besides him. There could be a couple of others, but you won't have too many injured guys on that inactive list on Sunday afternoon in L.A. So if you're there in week three, you could keep Chad Kelly on your 53 for maybe a week or two and then try to sneak him on your practice squad later on. Now, I think the more likely situation is him trying to clear waivers. And I know that there are off-the-field issues with Chad Kelly that might shy some people away from making a move on him. But we have to remember a couple things. He plays the most important position of any on the field, and people are desperate for quarterbacks. And he also was Denver's backup last year. Like, yes, his success mainly this preseason was against, you know, a lot of guys that aren't currently on NFL rosters, but he still was Denver's backup and has been a talented quarterback in this league. So I think there is intrigue, you know, from other teams around the league in what he showed in the preseason, how clearly he's behaved to the Colts, and what he did last year in earning the backup job in Denver. So if you get teams that suffer injuries at quarterback in the first 2 weeks of the year, if you get teams that go 0-2 and score 17 total points in the first 2 weeks of the year, I think that could lend to Chad Kelly being a bit of a hot candidate to be claimed, you know, similar to what the Colts did late a few years ago in claiming Stephen Morris. Now, that was kind of when you were in quarterback hell at that point of the season, but that was one eye looking towards the future. Well, you know, what about these Miami or Washington or Cincinnati or, you know, insert other, you know, teams that think they've got a good starting quarterback but aren't 100% sure and want to kick the tires on someone else? I think Chad Kelly could definitely end up there. So right now I'd probably put like a little bit less than a 50% chance that he's able to be stuck through waivers. I think if he is, you certainly throw him on your practice squad and try to keep him there as long as you can throughout this 2019 season.
It's time to celebrate. Football is finally back, and DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy football, has huge week one contests. The first one starts this Thursday night when Chicago and Green Bay kick off the season in a single-game showdown of $2.5 million in total prizes up for grabs. Draft your single-game showdown and lineup and feel the sweat like never before. It's simple. Just draft six players from the season opener, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Plus, New Year's who sign up today on DraftKings using code LOCKEDON will receive a free shot at $1 million top prize. Nothing adds to the sweat of watching the game quite like having a shot at a $1 million payday. Season opener action. Download the DraftKings app now and use code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, for a limited time. Both new and existing users can get a deposit bonus up to $500. And new users, don't miss this extra special week one bonus. Enter my code LOCKEDON to get a free shot at $1 million with your first deposit. That's code LOCKEDON only at DraftKings and make it rain. If you found $100 on the street, would you pick it up or keep walking? Of course you take the money. So why do you keep picking winners and not betting on them? That's why I go to MyBookie. It's fast, it's easy, and they pay when you win. Let's face it, what you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting on. I wouldn't be telling you guys to bet with them if they weren't the best. Do the smart thing if you're going to bet this football season and bet with MyBookie. Did you know you can also bet on games after kickoff starts? If by the second half it looks like your bet is going to lose, you can always just take the other side of it as well. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. If all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings. And no matter how you bet, the NFL season is the best time of the year. Join now and MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, and visit MyBookie.com today. You play, you win, and you get paid. I know you're going to have a full podcast on this, Kevin, I believe tomorrow on 107.5 The Fan and on wherever you find your podcast at for Kevin's Corner. But what's your just quick keys to the game here as far as for Sunday? Because I think for me, with Andrew Luck now being gone, it's the most intrigued I am as far as a week one goes, because I'm curious to see how motivated they are, curious to see how they fare against the Chargers team, who's kind of injured right now, but they're still obviously a really talented team with a really talented quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I probably have not gone into a game more kind of uncertain of what I'm going to see out of the Colts in quite some time. And part of that's just because we really didn't see the offense or the defense together very much, if at all, in the preseason. And when we saw the starting offense in practice, they largely struggled. So I'm very anxious to see what they look like against a banged-up Chargers team that's missing some really key pieces to their operation. And how does Jacoby Brissett handle his first start as the guy? I mean, he is the answer and the guy now for the Indianapolis Colts. And does he get help from the skill group? Because I don't think he got help from that group very much in 2017. And I think largely the skill group hasn't, outside of T.Y. Hilton and maybe some of the tight end play. They haven't helped out the Andrew Luck era Colts very much, or at least consistently, over the last 6 or 7 years. So I'm curious to see that. And then I think on the defensive side, if you look at where the Chargers have their biggest weakness, I'm talking Colts defense to Chargers offense, it's a very poor offensive line that is missing their starting left tackle. So can the Colts take advantage of that? I like the Colts D-line. I like its makeup. Can they consistently get home with the rushing four? Can Justin Houston be a guy that not only early in the season produces sacks and pressures just for the sake of disrupting opposing quarterbacks, but if he's able to do that early in the year, that then opens some things up for maybe Kamoko Turi off the other side, which is Nico Autry in the interior, where opposing offensive coordinators think, hey, 99 in white, 99 in blue, we got to get more hats over to him pre-snap with how you handle your pass protection stuff. So I think those are definitely areas that I will be watching. You know, I've seen that line kind of fluctuate from, you know, 3 or 4 when the schedule first came out as the Colts being underdog, climbed to a touchdown once the Andrew Luck news happened. Now it's starting to come back down again. I probably think it's a 4 or 5 point game where the Chargers probably end up winning this. I think they have the Hall of Fame quarterback that makes the plays in the fourth quarter. And on the road, I don't know if Jacoby Brissett has that in him just yet. If he does, it'll be a great sign. And I think it might push the Colts on the right side of the 500 bubble this season and put them in, certainly, talk to win the AFC South. But right now, I just think it's maybe a little bit too tall of a task for the Colts to handle week one.
Last question I had for you, Kevin. Appreciate the time as always. Since sports gambling now is legal in Indiana, I'd be remiss not to ask you about the spread. I believe it's 6.5 the last time I saw it. So it sounds like you think the Colts will cover that. But if you want to give us a score prediction, what do you think the score is going to be for this game?
Yeah, it's another great question, Evan. I would take those points if I were a Colts fan. I think the Chargers and some of the injuries that they have surprised if the Colts defense just got totally gutted for, you know, 27, 31 points, something like that. I know that this is a big litmus test for them as they start to play better quarterbacks, but I don't know if the Chargers will be able to score that many. So, you know, I'll say something in kind of like the 24-20 range, okay. 27-23 range, something like that. Obviously, it'll be a big key when, you know, both teams get scoring opportunities. Certainly, you know, who can convert those into touchdowns versus field goals will be monumental. But, yeah, I will say I'll go with, I guess, 24-20 Chargers.
Okay, yeah, that seems really reasonable. I think it's going to be a close game anyways, whatever way you want to slice it. But if you want to follow Kevin on Twitter, you can go ahead and follow him over there at KBowen1070. Also, subscribe to his podcast, Kevin's Corner, and follow his work over at 107.5thefan.com. Kevin, appreciate the time. And when we talk again after week two, I think we're going to know an awful lot about how this team's going to be the rest of the year. So appreciate you coming on.
Definitely. Can't wait to talk in a couple weeks.